Hello, welcome to York Street. We hope that this sermon will be an inspiring and impactful one, just what you need at this time. For any of our sermon-based studies, please head to our website at www.yorkstreet.com.au. So grab a cuppa, grab your notebook, whatever you need, and we hope that you enjoy the sermon.
We are in our fourth week of our vision series called We Are the Church, Perfectly Imperfect. I've had the privilege over the past couple of weeks. We had a break last week for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Our vision series has been looking at unpacking what it means to be the church. Not going through the motions of coming to church week after week, coming in, not changing, not moving forward in our faith, not being consumers of the kingdom of God, yet contributors. And we've been unpacking week after week these different elements of the vision for this church for this year. We see this beautiful image of the New Testament church being the church, not constrained to a location or a temple or a place of worship anymore, but actually being the church themselves, taking the gospel message with them out into the world. And we introduce this ancient Greek word, ecclesia. And ecclesia refers to the assembly or gathering of God's people, called out and set apart for the work of the Lord. This is the church. Regardless of where we meet or how many of us there are, that we are this chosen people, this people of God called out for the purposes of doing his work. And our theme verse comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where it says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." That's us, collectively, that's us, together. Not just me, not just you. And it doesn't say you are a chosen person or a royal priest. These are collective terms. We together are the ecclesia of God. "That you may declare the praises of him, Jesus. He is the reason we do this. He is the reason we gather. And it's in his name that we are here today to worship him, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Jesus transforms our lives if we allow him to, if we embrace it. One life at a time, one transformation story at a time, he starts to transform the world around us. His incredible creation. And from this verse, we've drawn out three themes which will run through our year here at York Street. In the first week, we started to unpack what community looks like, what it means to cherish the church, to nurture the church, not take it for granted, not make it about us, but remember, it's about us as the ecclesia, the collective need, the collective vision, and the collective response. Even though we don't get it right all the time, even though we're perfectly imperfect, we exist for each other, and we exist for God. And then the week before last, we had a look at this notion of faith, identifying that we are at all different stages of our faith journeys. Some of us have known Jesus for a long time. Others might be brand new to faith, or even others again may not even know Jesus yet. But we all start somewhere. In the ecclesia, you don't have to believe to belong. In the ecclesia, we're responsible for not only our own faith journeys, but the faith journeys of others in the ecclesia. And in the ecclesia, we are ready to press in and move forward, embrace our relationship with Jesus, and support and encourage others in theirs. So we've unpacked community. We've had a look at faith. And this week, our final week of this vision series, we're looking at how we can embrace transformation. Jesus has a transformation story for each of us. How do we grow in our relationship with him, with the express purpose of becoming more and more like Jesus himself? How do we step out of the darkness into the wonderful light that he calls us to? Scripture says he calls us, but we have to move. We have to step out. We have to claim the transformation he has for us. And so that's what today's message is about, spiritual transformation. Let's pray before we jump in. Loving Lord, as we come before you now and come before your word, would you bless it to us? Would you use your word to speak to our hearts and our heads, that we may leave this place today just that be closer to you, that we might be just able to step out into the purposes you have for each one of us because of an interaction we've had with you today. Father God, would you be with us in these next few moments? Would you continue to stir in our hearts action for your kingdom? Father God, we thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says this: Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We all are being transformed into his image. Often our lives, and it feels pretty haphazard at times, all of our lives are slowly and gradually being transformed to be more and more like Jesus himself, our ultimate role model, the personification of God himself. Will we get there? Probably not this side of glory. We're perfectly imperfect, remember? He calls us to a life like his. The scripture says he calls us out of darkness, the old way of doing things, into his wonderful light. The old way of doing things is no longer. We're stepping into something new. Further on, it says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. M. Robert Mulholland puts it like this: Spiritual transformation is the process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. So how does that happen? Philip Yancey, a well-known Christian author, writes this: If we are to stimulate spiritual interest and create spiritual thirst in the lives of the people in our world, we must be in the process of being spiritually transformed. It's not sufficient merely to be a nice person or a group of people. There are lots of nice people living good lives that don't have faith in Christ. So how does this happen? How are we spiritually transformed? How much of the responsibility is on the Holy Spirit to transform us? And how much am I responsible for my own spiritual transformation? I'm saved by grace. We know that. It doesn't mean that I don't have to worry about it anymore. Am I to work at my own spiritual transformation by my own self-control, by my own will? Well, that's not what the scripture says either. So let's be clear. Spiritual transformation is not merely behavior modification. Jesus can take people who have spent their entire lives living in sin, in brokenness, in distance from him, right? And he can transform their lives so that they are people who please him and bring hope and help to others, providing they put their faith and trust in him. But the opposite side of this coin is we probably all know people who live good and honourable lives but don't yet know Jesus. I wonder if there's people in your spheres that it's like, actually, you'd make a really good Christian if only you knew Jesus. See, it's not about behaviour. See, left to our own devices, we're all broken in many and very different ways. We argue, we cheat, we have addictions to all sorts of things. Maybe we steal, we get angry, we hurt one another. And I doubt anyone in this room would disagree with trying to change that. That's an incredibly great thing to try and achieve. But there are plenty of non-believers that can create behaviour change in their own lives. So when we stop doing these bad things, these negative behaviours, is that really transformation or is that behavioural modification? See, the world tries to tell us, and we fall into the trap of believing, that if I can just behave, if I can just do the right thing, if I say the right things, if I if I attend church enough, if I go to that Bible study, if I read my Bible and pray every morning, then I'll be enough. I'll find favor with God, and maybe, just maybe, then I'll start to become like Jesus. Let me tell you, if this is your way of thinking, you have it back to front. See, our behavior changes as a result of the transformation in our lives through Jesus. It's not a condition of it. The more we seek to know and understand God, the more we invest in our relationship with Him, the more we press into His word and His plan for our lives, changed behaviors become an outflow of the transformation that has already happened in our lives through our relationship with Jesus. We no longer desire some of those old habits anymore. We want to change our behavior, not because our relationship depends on it, because it doesn't, but because we genuinely have a desire to change and move forward in our journey to Christ-likeness. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of duress, but it's out of the freedom and the grace that our relationship with Jesus brings. Spiritual transformation is about dependent responsibility. See, like all relationships, all parties need to play their part, work together to make things work. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a child-parent relationship, whether it's a team on the football field, whatever the relationship, we have rights and responsibilities as a part of the relationship. But unlike any human relationship, a relationship with Jesus and the subsequent transformation that follows is completely codependent. Both we and God can only do our part if the other does theirs. We can't work independent of one another. I can't passively be transformed, nor can I do it in my own strength. It's completely dependent on me playing my part and God playing His. And so our passage from 2 Corinthians a bit earlier, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image. And we hear again in Romans 12:2, where it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice that both of these passages tell us to be transformed. That's something that is done to us. Who's doing the transforming? Well, it's Jesus. And we note that although be transformed is a passive, in a passive voice, it's imperative. It's a command for us to do something. It's a command for us to be transformed, to allow Jesus to transform us. As believers, we aren't passive in this transformation process. It reminds me of plenty of stories throughout the Gospels where Jesus is meeting people and healing people and making many, many changes in the people He interacts with lives. We turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, where we hear the story of a man with a withered arm. It says this, another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And see, the religious leaders at the time were trying to trap Jesus into healing on the Sabbath day to try and catch Him out as breaking the laws at the time. Jesus says to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And verse 5 says, he looked around at them in anger at the religious leaders who were trying to catch Him out, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretches out his hand, and his hand was completely restored. We see time and time again throughout the life and ministry of Jesus that He is absolutely ready, willing, and able to change and transform our lives. Yet He gets us to participate. He gets us to act. He gets us to be transformed. He says to this man, stretch out your hand. We hear in other stories where He says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. We see that He is absolutely ready, willing, and able to transform our lives. but we need to act too. So we know that spiritual transformation is not merely behaviour modification. We know that it's all about dependent responsibility. And a key feature of spiritual transformation is that it impacts its environment. It's fair to say that this transformation process is not easy. It can be a bit of a struggle. It's hard work to stick to this thing day after day, year after year. All the more harder if we try to do it alone. We need an environment to go and talk openly about how our walks with Jesus are going. It needs to be a place where we can get personalized attention and give that attention to others. Our family, our community, the ecclesia of God, where we can find encouragement, where we are encouraged and supported to step out together as a community of believers. Does anyone here know what happens when you put a red sock in a white load of washing?
Pink.
Absolutely. It bleeds through everything. What if we were to be the red socks of the world? What happens when we start to step up and claim our transformation is that the environment around us changes. We see people in a different way. We interact with people in a different way. Because of the transformation that has taken place in us through our relationship with God, we have the opportunity to influence and impact the people around us, just like those red socks. See, everything starts to change through our transformation in Jesus. And I want to remind you of that Mulholland quote earlier. Spiritual transformation is the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. See, as believers, when we give our life to Jesus, we know our future's sealed. Through a life of active transformation, we soon realize it's not about us. In the image of Christ for the sake of others. I wonder if you've ever gotten to the end of a day or a week, just had a moment to reflect. And maybe something totally unexpected has happened, maybe for the good, maybe for the bad. And when you sit back and think, goodness me, what just happened? How did I get here? Well, I wonder if you've ever thought that about your life. As the band comes up, I just want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Now, depending on your age, you can tap out of this story whenever you need to. I wonder if you just take a moment to think back to your childhood. Think about your life growing up. Maybe you could start to reflect on your teenage years, moving into adulthood. Consider the people there. Consider the relationships. Consider those events that have happened throughout your life. Maybe you can remember being at school, time spent studying or moving into work. Maybe there's people in this room who have had the joy of grandchildren or approaching the time of retirement. There are likely to be some incredible moments of celebration, maybe moments of great happiness and excitement. There's likely to be moments of deep pain and sadness. Perhaps there are moments of regret. Maybe moments of disappointment. Just for a moment, stop and pause and reflect. And maybe you're met with that same question. What just happened? How did I get here? Now consider when and where Jesus enters your story. Maybe it's a long time ago. Maybe it's more recent. Maybe you're still not quite sure. Maybe you still have questions. Think of those times when you felt close to God. Maybe times when you felt distant. When you've seen him move in incredible ways. Or maybe those times when you've doubted if he was even there. Brothers and sisters, whether you know it or not, whether you know Jesus yet or not, he has been working in your life. Whether you can identify where or when or how, or whether you need more time to reflect, I can tell you now, since you were created in your mother's womb, every circumstance, despite the ups and downs of life, good, bad, or otherwise, he has been working to draw you to himself so that you may know him and that you would be known by him. Church, he is calling you, he is calling us to so much more. He is calling us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. No matter the circumstance, he has more for you. He invites you to embrace the transformation he has for you. He's looking you in the eyes and saying, stretch out your hand. Church, let's do this thing together. Not for our own benefit, but for the sake of others. For those around us who need transformation just as much as we do. For those that need Jesus in their lives. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he will glorify. Loving Lord, we offer you this space right now. We pray that you would be ministering to our hearts right now, that we might be those people who stretch out our hand and receive the transformation that you have for each of us. You have been at work in each of our lives long before any of us probably even knew. Father, would you not stop now? You haven't brought us this far, even though it feels messy, even though it feels broken. You haven't brought us this far to leave us here. You call each of us by name to step forward and claim the transformation you have for us. Not for our own benefit, though we do. So that we might be people who draw others out of the darkness of their lives into the wonderful light that you have for them. Father, would we be a community of believers here at York Street who take this challenge seriously, who aren't satisfied with just sitting in pews week after week after week, that we might put our faith in you, that faith and trust that you have so much more to do. And we thank you for the invitation to be involved. Would we not take that for granted? Yet would we step forward and claim all that you have for us as a community here at York Street? Father, right now, as we come to stand to worship you, would we be those people who just might stretch out our hands? and see the transformation you hold. For each one of us and everyone, may we be people who point more and more people to you, so that your transformative power can be at work in their lives. And as the Red Sox of this world, may we bleed your transformation throughout the world, everywhere we go. Would we be that community of believers? Would we step up and be the ecclesia of God that you call us to? Will we take the challenge to step out of the darkness into your wonderful light? Amen.
If you would like prayer or to find our sermon-based studies, please head to our website or check the description below for a link. If you enjoyed the video, feel free to share the video, like, subscribe, and hit the bell icon for updates of when we release new videos. Remember, life can be tough, so let's do it together.